And that's what our meditation is about tonight. Being satisfied with that which satisfies God. And I have to say that I am satisfied. I'm satisfied in that the Lord Jesus Christ satisfies me. And I'm not looking for anything else in life than to know Him better, to serve His people faithfully, and to endeavor to reach others with the message of this wonderfully satisfying Savior. So I am really delighted to turn with you tonight to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus is the book that so thoroughly describes the Hebrew sacrificial system. The system of Hebrew worship, as it was for that long time, from the law that came after 2,500 years approximately of human history until Christ fulfilled all of these sacrifices and offerings and rituals in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 3, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Let us give our careful attention to God's word. If his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. He shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver. With the kidneys, it shall he take away. Now the caul is the midriff. It is that over the liver, over the kidneys. And that membranous part that even goes around the heart. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar, and he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, and the whole rump. It shall he take off hard by the backbone, get it entirely. And the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and that, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now let's turn over for a moment to chapter 7. It is here where the description of the peace offering is completed. We'll go down to verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. He shall offer it for a thanksgiving. Then he shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cake he shall offer for his offering, notice, leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it's offered. He, that is the one that brought it, shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice. And on the morrow, also the remainder of it shall be eaten. We'll end our reading there at verse 16. And we trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this evening for Jesus' sake. Now, isn't it interesting that here you have unleavened bread and you also have leavened bread? It almost seems contradictory, but it's not. The unleavened bread is typifying the purity of the great Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in this particular offering, the person who brought the offering has the privilege of eating some of the sacrifice. So the leavened bread is typical of those who are participating, the human beings that are participating. Because even as we come to the Lord's Supper, there is something of the leavening about us. And we may prepare to come to the Lord's Supper, but we still come as sinners saved by grace. We are not perfect. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the leavened bread is a picture of the ones who were actually involved in this and partaking of it. And the unleavened certainly is pointing to the purity of the Lord and our great sacrifice. The Holy Spirit used Moses to describe five types of offerings in great detail in the book of Leviticus. The whole burnt offering and the meat offering, and thirdly, the peace offering, and then the sin offering, and finally, the trespass offering. But then he comes back and he gives more detail regarding the peace offering that was introduced in chapter 3. It is completed and finished here in chapter 7. And all of these offerings point to the Lord Jesus Christ as their great fulfillment. Now, this evening, we are concerned, as you see, with the meaning of the peace offering. The peace offering was connected to the burnt offering. If you notice chapter 3, and this is where we'll be mostly, in chapter 3, if you see verse 5 there, we read, "And Aaron's son shall burn it," that is the peace offering, "on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." Now you remember there was a burnt offering made every morning and every evening. There was that continual sacrifice in that manner. And this peace offering was to be placed on that. So the burnt offering was the very basis for the peace offering underneath, the ground, the foundation. And we have peace with God through the whole burnt offering of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed for us. Christ's sacrifice is the very basis for all of our peace. Now, the peace offering was different from all the other offerings. And one of the ways it's different is it was given to three different parties. There was a portion of the sacrifice eaten by the sinner that brought the sacrifice. A portion was also for the priests, and the best part was consumed with fire to the Lord upon the altar. Consumed. Now, in a very real sense, the peace offering is similar to this ordinance that we partake of tonight, the Lord's Supper. We come as saved sinners to feed spiritually upon Christ. Christ tonight rejoices in being remembered in the very way that He has appointed for us to give a particular remembrance of His death. And the Father delights tonight in our remembering His well-beloved Son. Now, when the ancient Hebrew sighed and felt the need for a deeper understanding of his peace with God, he brought either a goat or a sheep or a bullock to the house of God. And it's very interesting that in the chapter 7, if you read on down the chapter, it says that he's got to do this with his own hands. He brings this animal with his hands. He puts his hand on the head of the animal at the door of the tabernacle or the temple. He kills the animal. The priests take the blood and sprinkle it. And then it is the responsibility of the offerer to divide this animal up, as God has said over and over again in chapter 3. And in chapter 7, he emphasizes, he says, you've got to do it with your hands, your own hands. Well, by these actions, the sinner was saying, I deserve to die, but I confess my sin and I transfer my guilt to the substitute that is dying instead of me. I say by killing the animal that indeed the wages of my sin is death and I should die. Then the sinner divided the animal's body into the three parts. And we're going to look at those three parts. First of all, the best parts were given to the Lord on the fire of the burnt offering. If you notice chapter 3 and verse 3, and he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord. First of all, the fat. The fat is mentioned twice in that verse. Those of you who cook meat know various things about the fat. The fat flavors the meat, and the fat burns with a most intense heat. Some of the worst fires in kitchens have come because fat caught on fire. And this intense heat that the fat burned with on the altar is symbolic of the awful intensity in the soul of our Savior as He was sacrificed for us. But when we come to the Lord, we are to give the Lord the best, the most intense worship. When we come to pray, to sing, to feed upon God's Word, this calls for the most intense concentration of our intellectual powers in the worship of Almighty God. But not only the fat, but notice verse 9. Verse 9 says, he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, and the whole rump. We enjoyed a beef roast for our Sunday dinner today, and I have often seen when I would go to the freezer to get a roast out that had been prepared at a slaughterhouse, one of our animals that you would see labeled on some of them, rump roast. Well, the rump was the best, the tenderest, the choice part of the sheep. the richest portion and the best part is reserved only for God in the peace offering. Here we see Christ, the chosen, the elect Lamb of God. Here is the best possible sacrifice for our sins. It is only the absolute perfection of Christ's person and work that can satisfy the holy demands of the righteous God. God the Father finds His chief delight in His Son, in the person of His Son, and in His Son's accomplished work. And that is, after all, what the peace offering is signifying. That God the Father be satisfied. That each one involved be satisfied to the fullest. And notice the third part that the God the Father received. If you see there in chapter 3, verse 3 again, it says, "The fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys shall he take it away, take away, and Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." A sweet savor offering. Now these inward parts, you know, the smell of burning meat being consumed over flames or even on an electric stove, it's not a pleasant smell to us to smell flesh being consumed. But to God, to His offended justice, there was a particular delight in God receiving this sweet-smelling savor because man is confessing the foulness and the villainy of his sin against God. And that is the stench in the nostrils of God. It's an abomination. But when man is confessing his wretchedness, his sin to the Lord, and bringing a sacrifice and acknowledging before God his guilt, it is a sweet-smelling savor to God. Now, why the inward? The inner organs, those closest to the heart, our inner organs are believed to be the very seat of the human emotions. Christ's offering for us, his innermost feelings and emotions. He was moved even as he was there on that cross, suffering and forsaken of God. It was especially not the sufferings of his body, but the sufferings of his soul. The suffering of him deep within, being forsaken by God, being made sin for us. His innermost feelings. But you know, our innermost feelings are also involved in coming to God and worshiping Him. This signifies our mourning over our sins, our deep grief at having broken God's holy laws. Then follows the grateful emotions of joy and love and hope because the Father has accepted the sacrifice of His Son in our behalf, and He is our Savior. Because of the Father's love, we have an advocate with Him, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. Propitiation means satisfaction. The Father's wrath against us has been propitiated. He is satisfied only because of Christ's perfect sacrifice. Now, the Father is satisfied with Christ, our peace offering. And because the Father is satisfied with Christ, He is satisfied with those who are in Christ. He is satisfied with our feeble sacrifices of praise, of prayer, of worship, of service. He is satisfied with these through Christ. God is satisfied with us in Christ. Notice He is satisfied with us in Christ. He is not satisfied with us based upon our performances. Now, let's remember that. No matter how earnest and how dedicated we endeavor to live and serve Him, He is satisfied with us in Christ, not on the basis of our performances, because our performances always are stained and have so much lacking. Well, the sacrifice of the peace offering, the first portion of it, went first and foremost to God in the best part. Secondly, the sacrificing priest received his portion of the peace offering. If you look over at chapter 7 again, there in verse 28. Chapter 7 and verse 28. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. Actually lifted up and held up before the Lord by the priest. Now then, verse 31, and the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons, and the right shoulder shall you give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. So Aaron and his sons, his family, his children would partake of him, or with him, of that portion of the peace offering. Now it's interesting, because the children of the priest is significant of the children of our great high priest and feasting upon the great work of the sacrifice, the great person who has given himself for us. Now the work of lifting up the sacrifice and enduring the extreme heat of the altar was the responsibility of the priest. This, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, did for us. Lifted up on the cross, dying for us. Our Redeemer bore for us the fierce, burning wrath of the Holy God against our sins. Our sins were laid upon Him so that He was made sin for us, so that we are made the righteousness of God in Him. Now what reward does our great high priest receive as his portion of this awful sacrifice? First of all, He is highly exalted at the Father's right hand. He has all power as the sovereign of the universe. The Father has divided Him a portion, we read in Isaiah 53:12. As He looks back on His sacrifice, Christ sees of the travail of His soul and is satisfied. Isaiah 53 and verse 11. Christ is satisfied as He beholds the results of His sacrifice. What are the results of this sacrifice? By the knowledge of Him, many are justified. Isaiah 53:11. In fact, a multitude which no man can number are justified by Christ's blood. And our mediator is satisfied by another thing. Our mediator enjoys seeing communion between God and man restored by the sacrifice of himself. He is satisfied with that. He enjoys that. So we come now quickly to the last part. The person who brings the peace offering to the Lord gets to eat a portion. Chapter 7 and verse 14. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering, that is the person who brought it, be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice. And on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. It was not to be left. It was not to be neglected. It was important to get this done, to eat it. The hungry soul that brought this sacrificial victim has the privilege of feeding upon a portion of the flesh of the sacrificial lamb. And here is the essence of true faith. Faith finds its sustenance in Jesus and in His work for us. His work of sacrifice. We are graciously permitted to partake of that which delights the Father's heart, the very sacrifice of the victim. We are abundantly satisfied with the nourishment of God's house. Psalm 36 and verse 8. We are satisfied how? We are satisfied in, and we are satisfied with fellowship and communion with God. How peaceful it is to rest in the sacrifice that has been made for our sake and for our sins. That is such a relief. To know that the work which saves has been done. And there's nothing for us to add to it. Praise God. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. I can say amen to what the psalmist said there in Psalm 66. We come to this communion feast, having prepared our hearts to some degree. But at the end of it all, we realize that God blesses us not because of our perfect performances, even in good works, but God blesses us particularly for Christ's sake. He confers grace upon us for Christ's sake. Let us never go forth from the communion service or any other service patting ourselves on the back because of our deep spirituality. Rather, let us confess our sin and give God the glory for any of his work and all of his work for us and in us for Jesus' sake.